solemnly swear that we are up to no good.
Welcome to We Solemnly Swear, a Mick Olson podcast. We are a group of sisters who are diehard Harry Potter fans and want to share our crazy passion and knowledge for the Wizarding World with our fellow Potterheads. Today we have...
Lexi, your hearing Hufflepuff.
And Tori, your researching Ravenclaw.
Yeah!
Yay! I can't remember what I searched for when I was looking for our synonyms.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. They kind of make sense, though, in context.
Like, we're going to be talking about the library. I'm so excited. Researching, hearing, it works. I had some good ones, too. Scrutinizing. If only everyone was here.
If it's only okay. The rest of our team members were here.
I know, but everyone is crazy busy working, having babies.
Babies left and right. For our listeners out there, by the time you hear this, Tori will definitely have a new baby.
Yes!
But she is days away right now. Slowly going into madness. So
yes, slowly slipping.
If there's a lot of details in this podcast, it's because it was a distraction for Tori.
It's true.
While she's near labor.
Yes, it was a very much needed distraction. Maybe I should just like do that every day and just like pick a subject and just focus
and just
on it all day.
In.
Except my kids might lose their minds if I do that every day because they're like, what's this? What's that? What are you researching now? What are you searching for? I'm like, guys. Get off of my back.
Get off. Go play.
Anyway, so the library. All right. From the books, we have a quote. It says, and then, of course, there was the sheer size of the library. Tens of thousands of books, thousands of shelves, hundreds of narrow rows. And I just like, oh, I was so excited when I read that. Of course, I love the library. I've loved it since I was little. So just like the thought of a library that extensive inside a school. Oh, man. It just kills you.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be the coolest thing in the whole wide world.
It's like Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
Level library. Yeah.
That's the library we all want. Let's just be honest. But this one, I pictured it more like, because I really liked how in the movies they portrayed it, because it had like all those little nooks. There were desks and it just had rows upon rows of books. And you're just like, oh, snap, I'm going to get lost. All right, so about the library. The Hogwarts Library is located off the corridor on the first floor of the castle, and it contains tens of thousands of books upon thousands of shelves. Students can come to the library to peruse or borrow books to supplement their studies or for their personal enjoyment. Now,
so it's across the hall then from the Great Hall or down the corridor or whatever, but it's on the same floor as the Great Hall and the entrance hall?
Yes, which is why I think the sheer size of it like makes sense.
And that's why there's only that one ground classroom and everything else is up.
Library and eatery.
All of those, all of those rooms are massive.
Yeah. No, and that makes sense.
So is that first staircase like just freaking giant?
Yes.
Because they have to like, because those rooms are portrayed as being so tall.
It's got 60 stairs.
Yeah, that first staircase is like ridiculous. And then every other staircase is like reasonable, but.
Yeah. Like they can handle it. I love it. Now, so I wrote this earlier. It says the library closes at 8 p.m. And I went and searched and I found out that, because I was wondering where that said that, it's in book 6 that where the library closes at 8 p.m. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. That seems early for a library.
Yeah, I remember in college staying at the library till midnight when they played that creepy music.
Yeah. Well, during finals week, they kept it open all night. So I've
stayed
at the library till like 2 or 3 in the morning before.
I just remember always being there at midnight.
And they'd start playing that.
And the music would come on and it was like, oh my gosh. Oh, they would play like screamo music during my year. So that was really funny. Anyway, I love the library. I think I would have died if the library closed at 8.
Tori's like, please stay open for me.
Stay open for me. Guys, I went through my second semester of college without a computer. The library was my safe place. I would study up top, and then I would go to the computer and write all my essays. Oh, God. The things we do. Anyway. In the library at Hogwarts, there are many shelves of magical books that are accessible to those brave enough to endure the scrutiny of Madame Pince. She's the librarian. We'll talk more about her in a second. There's also a restricted section at the back of the library, which is separated only by a rope. So security's awesome.
super secure back there. Super restricted, guys.
Do you know how many times I jumped the rope at my college library? Like, it was never a deterrent. I don't understand why that was a deterrent here. Maybe it was the presence of Madam Pince that was really the security. What we're learning from security. This
is that Tori was the library rebel.
Oh, man. The library is like where I lived, you guys. It's okay. This should not be a surprise. Also, if there was a rope, most people wouldn't go in those areas, and so it was quiet. Right? That's right. Using my noggin. for the restricted section, it is required to have a teacher's signature if you wanted to gain access to any of the books within the restricted section. So I was questioning, like, do you think they also needed the name of the book as well?
I mean, probably, especially after Voldemort or Tom Riddle was reading up on Horcruxes, right? Then Dumbledore was like, we need to pull those books. And they probably... There's probably only a few students who actually knew the names of the books they needed, and the rest were just like researching and told them a topic, right? Of like,
yeah, but
hey, professor, I'm researching this and I need more information. And they're like, oh, I know a great book in the library. Like, it's not like the kids would know all the names of these books, right?
Well, I know, but as we're going to find out, Madam Pince isn't the best, like, helper or supplement for finding books. No, she like would rather have them not be off the shelves.
That's where your professor would give you the info, right? Like, oh, hopefully maybe they're being your mentor. And
all right, that would make sense.
And the restricted section, the restricted section, I think of like Hogwarts professors, kind of like university professors that are like constantly doing research and like publishing their own theories and things like that. Like, we saw that with Dumbledore, right? He like came up with all these uses for dragon's blood, and
yes,
like he did research while he was teaching. And so I'm sure most of the restricted section books are used by professors doing research. Like, it's not really meant for students, but some students use it, right?
That would make sense. I like that. I like that explanation. But inside the restricted section, it just says that the books inside are rare, valuable, and considered dangerous or inappropriate for the younger students.
Okay.
So my question about the library was, is there some sort of giant magical list that tells you the names and the authors of the books, as well as if they've been removed by other students? Like, because I wondered if this is why Madam Pince is such a bum about the books, because there's no Dewey Decimal System to help her know where her books are. She literally is just like going on faith.
There's probably like a magical Dewey Decimal System, Tori.
There's got to be, right? Because there's obviously no computers.
Also, why couldn't she just like Accio any book she wanted?
What?
Like Accio this book.
I guess.
Accio again, all books like about the lake. And then she gets like bombarded with books.
I don't know. Yeah, no, I just thought that was strange. Oh,
she should have little she should have house elves that work just in the library as like her little librarians.
That would actually be a cool job, but that'd be like super against spew and everything.
Yeah, but maybe Hermione would have a different taste if there was house elves in the library, right?
It's true,
because then they'd have a chance to read and educate themselves. But they're also like not doing, I mean, putting books away and gathering books isn't that demeaning of work, right?
I did love in the movies how they showed, like, when she like put the book away, you just like hold the book and it would like float up to where it was belong. Like, and then of course, then you see the behind the scenes and it's these creepy gloves just sitting like there, and they like grab the book.
It's like, that's clever though. This is the magic. That's smart of them to do.
Huh?
It's smart of them to do that, though.
Oh, like, yeah.
In the movie, it just added it was such a small part that they didn't even call attention to, but it, like, added to the magic, you know?
It did. It definitely added to the magic. I loved it.
So the library books have multiple spells on them to prevent students from defacing or stealing them, which is actually pretty cool.
Smart.
Because, like, that's what kids do, is like draw in books, and we see Malfoy rip pages out of books. And
oh, Lexi, do you know how hard it was for me to write in my first book, like when I got in seventh grade and they're like, we're gonna write all over this book? Oh my gosh, it like tore my heart out. So I like kind of understand why Madam Pince was like super anti anyone doing it, but I also am just like, I also love the books that I have written in. Like some of them I've like gone all out and I find quotes from other authors or like historical, yeah, like things to back up what's going on.
Well, it takes you back to that like research mindset too, right? Yeah. That you're in. And so you can be like, oh my gosh, like I actually thought through this.
Yeah. Like it was more than just the story, which now, like now that I'm older, I just read it for the story. But like, uh-huh, obviously at school, you're like trying to like break it down and figure it all out.
Yeah. So, Madam Pince has been known to place spells of her own as additional protection. So like a book is mentioned that physically assaulted a reader should they dare scribble on it, as mentioned in
Quidditch Through the Ages.
Oh, Quidditch, sorry, Through the Ages. I was like, I don't know what that one means, Tor.
What's Quitta?
What's Quitta?
Sorry.
Quidditch Through the Ages. That's terrifying that this book's going to freaking attack you.
I know, right?
But as we know, Hermione did manage to tear a page out of a library book about magical creatures without being cursed, jinxed, or hexed. So maybe not all the books have such preventative measures.
She did end up petrified.
Because she wrote on the page too, right?
Yeah, she totally wrote on it. But she like was that she ended up petrified like literally 2 minutes after that. So I thought that was really funny. Like
she was probably petrified with her guilt of defacing the book. The like, whole time she's petrified. It was like, what have I done?
Like, no.
Oh man.
No, I just, yeah. I can only imagine. But
well, we know that food is forbidden in the library.
Yeah.
And students and teachers may take out books from the library with the librarian's permission. Severus Snape claims that it is against the rules to carry a library book out of the castle, but he probably was just being a soggy sweathead in the order to try to get Harry in trouble.
Sorry, Diddy, I didn't know you were going to read that one. Probably tore your heart out to say that.
It did, a little bit. Students also seem to be able to place holds on books in the library, as we see in, like, Chamber of Secrets. In the Hogwarts of History had a 2-week wait on it.
Yeah, everyone was trying to figure out what the heir of Slytherin, like, his Chamber of Secrets. So,
well, I think we can, instead of just like being super secret, just acknowledge that Nadine's here now.
Hey, yeah, here. Like I didn't know if I should be like incognito, like if you faked my name earlier or what, but
no, yeah, we had already started, but
yeah, I'm just
Nadine's here,
hopping in a little late. I was at work and then I came running in, so
she's just saving lives, you know, whatever.
That's right. I was yelling at a doctor.
Oh.
It was kind of heated. It was fun, but it was
good. It was fun.
I love it. All right. Now we're going to talk about Madam Irma Pince. She's the librarian of the Hogwarts Library. So from JK on Twitter, she comes out and says, I would like to apologize for you and any other librarians present here today. And my get out clause is always, if they'd had a pleasant, helpful librarian, half my plots would have been gone. Because the answer invariably is always in a book, but Hermione has to go and find it. If they had a good librarian, that would have been the problem solved. So sorry, she said. She sprang directly from my childhood fear of scary librarians, the kind who hate kids. So yes, Madam Irma Pince is the Hogwarts librarian, and she definitely sees herself as the guardian and protector of all the magical books. She is at odds with the students who try to use the books in the library. She will not allow students to eat. She will not allow the students to eat, talk, laugh, whisper, sneeze, or scurry while they're in the library.
Nothing.
She is the most unhelpful in finding books for students, which only adds to her unpopularity. She literally is an obstacle in research. So truthfully, in my opinion, Madam Pince fits the persona of the librarian who would never be any help ever. And I always question why on earth someone like that would ever be a librarian rather than some sort of like museum curator where they like tell people just like, don't touch. I have all this knowledge, but I will only I will share it with you, but you can't touch or see or breathe or
that's honestly that probably how she saw it, though. Like, knowledge is her museum, and these books are like the precious heirlooms and artifacts that she's in charge of protecting. Instead of seeing it as like information to share, it was like records to protect, right?
My precious. Oh my gosh.
I've also met a lot of teachers that I'm like, why are you a teacher?
Why are you even a teacher if you don't even want to do your job? I get it. I don't get it, but I understand and have seen that. That's what I say. I mean, so from the books, this is about Madam Pince. It says, they waited, and not a moment later, the vulture-like countenance of Madam Pince appeared around the corner, her sunken cheeks, her skin like parchment, and her long hooked nose.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. I died when they read that description, when I read the description of Madam Pince. In the books, they frequently claim that she resembles an underfed vulture.
Oh, poor woman.
Oh, it's the best description in my life. But she has parchment-like skin, sunken cheeks, shriveled face, unflattering hooked nose, thin disposition, and an irritable countenance.
Oh my gosh.
She is definitely the epitome of, like, scary librarian.
Pretty old, too. In my head, I see an old, old lady.
I always see the creepy ghosts from Ghostbusters when they're like, get her.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Oh my gosh,
I always, that's who I see. Have you guys seen Music Man?
I have not.
It's like a musical, a play, but there's a song in there called Madam Librarian. It's like, Madam Librarian. That's terrifying. Always thought about that when I read about Madam Pince.
That's awesome. So in the book, Quidditch Through the Ages, there's a note from Madam Pince, because the book is written as if it's an actual book you can check out from the library, right?
Yes. I don't own it, but I was reading all about it today. So it is written as though it was literally the library book taken out and published for the world.
Yeah, that's how like Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find
Them. It's Harry's,
it's like
version.
Actual like Harry's notes on Newt's book, which is pretty cool take on some of these books. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, a little Anyways. submersive.
So in Quidditch Through the Ages, there's a note from Madam Pince that says, a warning: if you rip, tear, shred, bend, fold, deface, disfigure, smear, smudge, throw, drop, or in any other manner damage, mystery, or show lack of respect towards this book, the consequences will be as awful as it is within my power to make them.
Isn't that terrifying?
Oh my gosh.
A little intense.
She thought of everything someone could do to those books. So this just goes to show how overly possessive she is of these books.
Yep.
So there's
surprised
also
she didn't write that in every book.
I know.
It's a stamp. She's like, bam.
Her giant stamp. So also in Quidditch Through the Ages, there's a funny note from Albus Dumbledore claiming that in order to remove the book from the library, he had to single-handedly remove each one of Madam Pince's fingers from the spine of the book.
the book.
We know that she would clean and dust the shelves of the library manually with a feather duster, which she would brandish at students if they ever looked suspicious. Which, that's interesting that she didn't, like,
maybe that's her wand.
Use magic. Oh, that's her wand is a feather
like
duster.
Hagrid's umbrella. Madam Pince has her feather duster.
So she's actually, like, putting protective spells on all of them.
Oh, you guys have seen Indiana Jones, I think.
Yes.
When they're in that big library, and the librarian's stamping the books.
Yes.
He like hits to dig.
And then he hits
time
it at the same
like,
time. She's like, oh my.
No, I was so powerful.
That's the sound that giant stamp would make when she's like, if you do anything, I will find you.
So a little bit of fan theory, some theorizing going on in the Harry Potter world is that a rumor that Irma, Pince is actually Eileen Prince in hiding. Though obviously this has not been confirmed. The rumor is solely based on the fact that Pince has a hook nose and dark hair, just like Snape. So this is, Irma Pince is Snape's mom. Yeah. And her name is like an anagram for I am Prince. So.
Super, super big change there.
Yeah, that and that she's rude and somewhat snappy. similar to Snape. So what do you guys think? What are your thoughts on that?
It sounds like a stretch.
Yeah. I thought it was a stretch, but I thought it was worth
it's
putting
interesting,
in.
Interesting, though. Yeah, it's an interesting thought.
But then she's, like, close to her son and stuff like that. Like, I can see, like, well, that'd be cool, but no, I don't think so. Yeah. It's kind of a, yeah.
That's
people
funny.
Try to find things in everything.
Yeah, brownie points for the person that came up with that, because...
Yeah, who spent time rearranging the letters to be like, I am Prince. That means she's Snape's mom.
Snape's mom.
And it's not the first anagram in the series right. that includes I am.
Right? That is true. That is true. Oh, man, I loved all of those, like, that list that she had that was like.
Yeah, that, like, in French, it's like, I am Elvis Voldemort or something yes. to make it work with the letter.
No, his middle name had to be Elvis.
Oh, so yeah. Tom Elvis Riddle.
Obviously, it's rearrange. Not Tom, but yeah, you get it. So I wanted to say, so the actress that they cast for Madam Pince was Sally Mortimer for, they only had her in the movie for Chamber of Secrets. I am 100% sure. They might have had her in for Philosopher's Stone. We don't see her again after. But when I saw the pictures of her in the crowd, so there's like three pictures. There's of her in the crowd after Miss Norris was petrified. She's right behind Poppy. What's her last name? The nurse.
Pomfrey.
Yes. Then she's also in the Quidditch crowd before Harry lost all of the bones in his arms. And then at the end of term feast, she's sitting next to Snape. Okay, I was floored. I thought that that lady
was
playing her, I thought she was Sinistra or Vectra, not Irma Pierce or Pince. I did not think.
I've never put that together. That's crazy.
She never fit that description. And maybe I'll find those pictures and I'll put them on our Instagram. Because it was, I literally was like, that's not her. But then they like showed the picture. Like, this is who they cast. They're like, they didn't age her or anything. I was like, what the frick? Like, that's not what I pictured the scary librarian to be.
Yeah, post that picture of what they casted, and then we can all find pictures of what she looks like in our heads and post those.
I will find that picture. I will draw that picture.
I will draw that picture. So some of the history of the library and, like, places we see it in the books and the movies. So we know during Tom Riddle's time at Hogwarts in the 1940s, there were several books in the restricted section all about Horcruxes. This included the book Secrets of the Darkest Art, which Hermione Granger reads while she and Harry are searching for the Horcruxes. And that's something that Dumbledore, or she gets out of Dumbledore's office, right?
Yeah.
I'm getting ahead of myself here.
Yes,
so sometime after this, when Dumbledore became headmaster, he had all of the dark Horcrux books removed from the library and placed in his office. And Hermione gets them after Dumbledore dies by summoning them out of his office.
She's which so is smart. Why she has them when they're traveling.
She's so smart to do that. How did she know what to summon, though?
She's like, I think that he's got books on Horcruxes in there.
Yeah, like just Horcrux books. All the books. That'd be hilarious, actually. All these books come through, like, in Storm the Stone when Merlin is packing up and all of his books are in, like, a giant line. Oh my gosh, that'd be the coolest thing in the whole world.
I mean, Hermione probably tried to go get the books from the library and saw that they were gone. Let's be honest.
It's true.
Who would have
them? Yeah, she probably knew they existed.
Yep. Smart. In Harry's first year, There's a quote. It says, Madam Pince, she says, "What are you looking for, boy?" And Harry, "Nothing." And Madam Pince says, "You better get out then. Go on. Out." Harry was searching for stuff on Nicholas Flamel, and he was edging towards the restriction section. That's when she caught him. So during the first year, Harry and his friends searched the library extensively, trying to find out who Nicholas Flamel was. Eventually, during Christmas, Harry uses his invisibility cloak to sneak into the restricted section to find anything about Nicholas Flamel. But during this little outing, he picked up a black book near the bottom of the shelves, and it began screaming when he opened it. And Harry ran for it, so he didn't really get very far. During the same year, Hagrid also visited the library searching for books regarding dragons, because he had recently received his dragon egg. And Madam Pince did not appreciate that Hagrid was there.
Oh.
I just remember it was very... She was like, get out!
Why so salty?
So salty.
Yeah, very salty.
Yeah, so in the Harry Potter second year, the quote is, Madam Pince held the note up to the light as though determined to detect forgery, but it passed the test. So this is when Madam Pince is examining Hermione Granger's note, the note that is the same note that Hermione was really hard-pressed to give up since it had Gilderoy Lockhart's signature on it. It was this note that Hermione was given permission to get the, I'm going to butcher this, most potent potions.
Yeah.
From the restricted section, which is what she used to make Polyjuice potion to get the recipe, whatever you would call that. So also in this book, Harry was eavesdropping on a group of Hufflepuffs in the library while talking about some of the recent attacks of the petrified students, because obviously all the Hufflepuffs thought that Harry was the heir of Slytherin. So later in that same year, Hermione was also attacked by the basilisk minutes after she figured out that it was indeed a basilisk that was attacking students. So she and Penelope Clearwater were attacked, petrified, because they were using the mirror and they were found near the library.
Yep, yep.
Interesting. So in the third year, besides like regular studies, the biggest scene we have in the library is the Golden Trio study a bunch of material found in the legal section to hopefully help Hagrid with Buckbeak's case, because Buckbeak is on trial for hurting Malfoy.
Attacking. In the fourth year, while researching spells to help Harry with this first task for the Triwizard Tournament, Harry made good use of a book called Basic Hexes for the Busy and Vexed. I just love the names of all the books, you guys. That's why I wanted to like go through my books and find them all, but I couldn't. Didn't have the time. I need more time. But Harry did get permission from McGonagall later in that year for the second task to go to the restricted section so he could find a way to breathe underwater for an hour. Of course, he didn't find an answer.
Of course.
And Dobby had to wake him up and hand him his gillyweed. And then as for the final task, Harry checked out books that would help him prepare. And from these books, he did learn the impediment jinx and the reductor curse, which are like super helpful in the rest of the series. So I was like, dang, Harry, good thing you were in the stinking Triwizard Tournament.
Yeah, those are like well-used curses.
Yeah.
Ginny masters the reductor curse.
She did.
Yeah, she does.
Get it. In the fifth year, during the Easter holidays, Madam Pince found Harry and Ginny with some chocolates in the library, and she bewitched their belongings to chase them out, whacking them over their head.
You're not allowed food in the library.
She's crazy, man.
Get out.
In their sixth year, there's this quote, this exchange between Madam Pince and Harry. She says, "The library is now closed. Mind that you return anything you have borrowed to the correct..." "What have you been doing to that book, you depraved boy?" Harry says, "It isn't the library's, it's mine." And Madam Pince yells, "Despoiled, desecrated, befouled." And Harry's like, "It's just a book that's been written on." So this is obviously the potions book, the advanced potion making book of the Half-Blood Prince that Harry has, that she's just mortified. So yeah, while he's studying for potions, he's taking notes from his book, and he and Hermione are kicked out of the library because she just walks past and sees the notes on the book and is like, get out right now.
Out. Oh gosh, I can only think.
Better leave before I make you leave.
Yep.
Chase you with chocolates.
Oh man. So in Harry Potter's seventh year, even though Harry slithered off this year, Madame Pince was still at Hogwarts as staff. And I would like to think that she helped protect the students, but I also kind of like don't think she did.
She was probably, I mean, all the Death Eaters there were like blowing stuff up, right? And so she was probably just like so high of anxiety protecting the books. Like, do not blow anything up over here. Like,
don't punish anyone. Dare.
I doubt anyone actually went to the library that whole year.
Yeah, probably. I would hide in there.
Sanctuary.
But we do know that she...
Sanctuary!
She did fight in the Battle of Hogwarts. She did survive, too. She wasn't one of the casualties. But I couldn't find... I didn't have the time to find a reference that, like... of her, like, fighting. You know, like, they... Harry sees Professor Flitwick, like, attack Dolly.
Come
Hall,
on, Tor.
Like that,
what else could you be doing besides, like, going through contractions or whatever?
It's fine.
Poor kids.
Four kids, contractions, blown over fence.
Kids basically watch themselves, right? So you didn't.
Kids
have
basically watch themselves.
You didn't have anything to do today.
Nothing. All right. So I have some questions for you guys. What subject or magical subject would you study extra in? The one that you would brave Madame Pince, the librarian, to find out more of.
Ooh.
Or would
probably Defense Against the Dark Arts, especially if my defense teachers looked like Harry's, right? Like, we're so vastly different from each other. I'd probably feel really behind and, like, want to make sure I knew what was going on. Because, if McGonagall's your teacher, you know you're getting as full of an education as you can with her. Same with Flitwick. Same with Herbology and even potions. But, like, yeah, I would say probably Defense Against the Dark Arts.
I can totally
see
that.
Yeah, like, especially with Umbridge being your teacher that year.
Yeah.
The anti-learning. I love it. So my answer to that was charms, because I would want to know every charm there could be in existence.
Yeah,
I think it'd be the most... Yeah.
Well,
I want to know everything.
Because everything you learn in school is probably only, like, such a small portion of what exists.
Yeah.
Right?
I wish you guys could see Tori's face when she said, in existence.
In existence.
Just this, like... Matt, like, she's just like taking a step back at the universe. Like, I need to know all of it.
I want to
in existence.
Know.
That's
I love
funny.
It.
My favorite books that I ever checked out of the library, though, were the Magic Tree House books.
Oh, I remember those. Those were cute.
I checked them out all the time.
Magic Tree
House. I love those books too. Yeah. I also love checking out the. Oh, I keep wanting to say Animagus, but what's it called? Animorphs? Is that what it was called? And it had the little pictures in the corner that if you flipped the book, you would see the little teenager turn into like
a
panther or an eagle or something. Right?
Yeah.
It was like a little flip book, but then you could read it about their journeys of becoming these animals.
Oh my gosh, it's awesome.
Speaking of people becoming animals, I went to, I saw one of my coworkers today, and I was showing her a picture of my baby who was wearing a Harry Potter onesie. Anyways, the Harry Potter onesie says, I'm seriously too cute. It's a little bit ridiculous, but it's seriously spelled as Sirius Black and ridiculous, like when you defeat
ridiculous.
A Boggart. It's a super cute onesie, courtesy of Mama Olsen. But, She was like, that onesie, like, I know Harry Potter. And I was like, cool, you know Harry Potter? And she's like, yeah, like, Sirius, he can morph into something. And I was like, morph? Wrong word.
More.
And I like couldn't stop myself. I'm like obviously at my professional job, and I just was like, "You mean an animagus?" And she was like, "What?" And
he's like,
"He's an animagus." And she's like, "Okay." And she's like, "But he can turn into something," and I just don't remember what it was. And I was like, "What? How do you not know?"
What I know Harry Sirius Potter.
Black turns into. Yeah, and so, and I was like, it's a dog. And she's like, oh, okay. And what color is the dog? I was like, his name is Sirius Black. And he turns into a black dog. Like,
a yellow lab, obviously. That's the question.
A white Pomeranian. What do you think?
A yippy little annoying dog.
And oh my gosh.
She's just like, oh wow, I didn't know you knew your stuff so well. It's like, you don't even have to know your stuff that well. That, no, that, no, that, no, that,
no. Oh my gosh.
You don't even know. Gosh. You don't even know what I know.
You can't even fathom.
Tori, what were some of your favorite books to check out?
So the one book that always comes to mind, I have never been able to find it again, guys. And I have looked extensively for this book. So there was a book of short stories and like, I don't know, they're like, they were like part conspiracy, part like mythical, I don't really know, but it had a picture of a like an a guy with an umbrella, and he was yellow, and it was called like the Yellow Umbrella Man, and I have never been able to find it.
Why do
it again,
I have a memory
guys.
Of this? This is weird.
I checked it out like 7 times in my youth. And then all of a sudden as an adult that I'm looking for this, because like there were weird stories about everything and like
yeah.
history stuff. And I don't know. It was my favorite
I've totally book. Read this book before.
Have
oh my
you?
Gosh. Yeah. Probably because you checked it out like 1,000 times. And I was like, what's this book Tori's reading?
Yeah. Why does Tori always have this book? If I should have just stolen it from the library. I'm just kidding.
It was like your Atlas Shrugged, but of your teenage years.
Yes, it was my Atlas Shrugged. It was my teenage Atlas Shrugged. I love Atlas Shrugged. That's a good book, guys. No, but I am like, I am really upset because I like go to the, well, not right now because of COVID, but I used to go to the library every 2 weeks with my kids, and we would just like fill up our bags with books, and I would always like make them come with me to go into like different sections of the library to find this book. And it like took like two. I've been here where I live for 4 or 5 years and I still can't find it. I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
But oh my gosh. I love like, that you do that with your kids.
Yeah.
It's like every 2 weeks and you force them to go down all the aisles of the library. You're like, you will enjoy this as much as I do.
Enjoy this experience.
This is this aisle. Let's take a second and go down this aisle.
It's true. No,
that's amazing.
Did you have a favorite book, Lexi?
Yeah, I said that Animorph book.
Oh,
I remember when you read those.
And then I just remember as a teenager just walking through all of like the young adult fiction on the very back row of the library on the left side.
Yeah.
Yep.
And just like looking at what pictures looked the most interesting to read.
Yeah, which
ones
looked
captivating. I found a few books that way. Yeah, I found a few books that were good, but most of them were just like dumb teenage dramas and vampires and stuff.
My mom.
Vampire.
Yeah. My mom always tried to get me to read a lot. And like I was even homeschooled for a little bit. And so she tried to get me to read a lot during that time too. And I just would fake it. And I thought that I had her so fooled. Like, and she was like, go to the library and get a book. And I was like, okay. So I was like, I need to find a book that I can easily fool her that I've read it. And so then I like was going down the young adult fiction and I found like The Princess Diaries. I was like, that movie like legitimately just came out. Like, I can totally fake this. And it was like 3 inches thick.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I checked it out and my mom was like, okay, like go read it and let me know when you're done. I was like, okay, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I came back in like 2 hours, and I was like, Mom,
I'm
read the book, and she was like, you read that whole thing? And I was like, yeah, test me on it, and she was like, well, I obviously haven't read the book yet, like, I'll need to read it and then test you on it, and I was like, okay, well, yeah, but, I mean, the Secret Service man, his name is Joey, and Like, I just started spouting stuff off. I'm like, I really like the part when they're doing the painting and, you know, just like. And she could just see through me the whole time. And there were so many things like that. Like, I did it with Anna Green Gables. Like, I told her I read that.
You thought you were being so clever.
Yeah, I thought I had her fooled. And I brought it up to her a couple months ago. And she was like, yeah, that was so obvious. She's like, you used to hide books. Like, I just never had this passion for books. It was always just a chore for me. Because I hid the... She would be like, we're going to have reading time. I'd be like, okay, I'll go get the book. And then I would go hide the book. And I'd be like, Mom, I can't find it. We can't do our reading time. I can't find it. And she was like, oh, okay, then you can't go swimming today unless you find the book. And I was like, oh, crap. And I'd be like, Mom, I found it.
Look, I found it.
That's awesome.
I was always a reader. Yeah. I was that child that would bring an extra bag, like a giant backpack, and fill the backpack up.
Well, that's what our mom would do, right? Like any vacation, she had 3 books in her bag.
Yep.
And like we would be camping when we were younger, and we'd always, like, every member of the family would pack a book. Like even our dad, who was always reading like self-help books or whatever. like the get rich whatever books, those ones, but we always had books. And then like we're camping and four-wheeling, and we'd all have like a 2-hour break and just like go out into the woods with our books and just read. Like we're such an introvert family. It was so funny.
It's so great.
I remember like walking home from school reading a book. I don't know how I didn't fall down more often. I told Nate, my husband, that, and he was always just like, yeah, you're a weirdo. I was like, no. I'm still, I am that child that would put like a book that I was reading inside my textbook thinking I was super smart. Oh, and gosh. I was like reading it instead of listening to my teachers.
Tori is such a reader though. Like I don't read as much anymore, but I feel like every time I talk to Tori, she always has a different book in her hand.
Oh yeah,
she
Tori, tell them how many books you read last year.
Yeah,
last year I don't remember the number. So my goal was 60, and I surpassed it. That was
60 books.
Easy. Yeah, and do you last count year was your the repeats? Hardest. Last year was the hardest year because I did a no repeat year. Because usually I have like months where I always make sure I read a specific book, and or like at least squeeze it in. And I didn't get to do it last year. And it was so hard. I wanted to read. So I read Pride and Prejudice every year. I read Wuthering Heights. I read Alice Shrugged. There are like books that are fixtures in my life. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't read them last year. And it like broke my heart. So like January came this year and I read all 3 of those books. Like the first week of January. I could not handle my life.
It's been too long.
Yeah. So freaking 60 new books last year. That's nuts.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
This year I'm gonna beat it. No, it's... I like
to know, because you won't have anything else to do. Like,
I got nothing 5
children. Are you kidding me?
Actually, that's, like, the number one question. They're like, how do you read books when you have all those kids? I'm like, guys, like, sometimes kids go to bed at night. They're like, don't you watch TV? I'm like, no. I don't. Kids, maybe that's
just
it.
Just watch themselves.
And, like, while your kids are watching, if they watch a movie in the afternoon or whatever.
Yeah, I read a book.
Unless you're Marco Poloing us, then you're...
Oh, yeah.
There priorities. You go. There you go.
Priorities.
Marco Polo has definitely been the contested contester for my reading.
No, it's kind of.
And I'm just over here scrolling on TikTok. You know,
oh my gosh,
really getting so some happy. Education here.
Really getting my worldly education.
No, it's so busy. And well, my daughter today, she was like, Mom, I want more kids in our family. And I was like, oh, we'll see about that. Like, that's not going to happen. And she was like, oh, no, I want more kids, Mom. I want 1,600 more kids. And I was like, wow, like, we couldn't fit those kids in our house. And she's like, that's okay. They can just be outside all the time. Like, that's not how that works.
I want to be in the house.
I'm an in-house kid. They'll be
an in-house kid. They're outside. And I was like, I don't even think they'd fit outside. Like,
our yard's not that big.
Yeah, we got a lot to
It's like a real life Hunger Games in your backyard, maybe. And that would be hilarious. Who gets to be the inside kids? Gosh, I'd die.
But that's our episode on the library. We want to know, tell us about, you know, your library experience. I know for me personally, like, there's always a library smell. Like, it's very... Like, I love walking into the library. It's a very distinct smell. It's a very distinct smell. And it's always like a comforting smell for me. I've always loved going to the library. So just remember, you can reach out to us out on social media. We are at We Solemnly Swear Cast. You can ask us your questions, tell us your insight, and let us know if you disagree or agree with anything that we said. And we would love to hear from you.